Hey everybody, it is Shelley Hoffman with Lenore Fetko. And Lenore, this is your second time coming on the podcast, so I appreciate your time.
Happy to be here.
Lenore is the chief executive of the Greater Syracuse Association of Realtors, which we call GSAR for short. If you ever hear GSAR, that's what we're talking about. But Lenore's coming on today to talk a little bit about the housing shortage. If you ever talk real estate with me, I'm like, it's the twilight zone for me. I've never seen anything like it. I haven't been in the business a long time, but even some of the older agents, you know, it's a little bit different. So I appreciate that you're coming on today, Lenore.
Sure. Happy to be here, Shelley.
So what can you tell us from like the, you know, when you're sitting in the GSAR and you're getting all the information that's coming in, you know, what's it like from your end? What are you guys seeing?
Well, one of the things that we're focusing on, and we're just, you know, we're just starting to take a look at this, like you said, the housing shortage, but within Central New York, it's going to be an even bigger issue than across the country and what the country is going through. Obviously, everyone knows that there's a housing shortage. There was a pent-up demand due to the pandemic, and then just everything got really crazy and starting to calm down, but still a very active market. But as we see our community grow with the two Amazon locations and the number of jobs that are coming our way and the growth in those areas, and then other manufacturing projects that are on deck for our county, we're hearing from the Center State CEO that we may be in a real housing crisis more than ever before. And so what we have done is brought our state local legislators and senators together last Friday, of course, social distancing them in our large office here. And they were all great. Everyone came and we told them we wanted to talk about the housing crisis. And they were very vocal. We learned a lot from each one of them. We learned of the different projects that some of the housing facilities in our area, the things that they're working on right now, like home headquarters and such, what they might be working on we didn't know about. But we talked about the fact that it isn't just housing for all. We have to really be mindful of the seniors, of the poor, of the disabled, that it's rentals and homes that are for sale, not just folks that are going to be working in these facilities that will come to us over the next 10 years, but we're being told that there could be 20 to 40,000 homes for those sectors that I mentioned as a shortage in the next 10 years. That is something that in our life, we won't experience. And how do we handle that? You know, what about the infrastructure of these developments? What can happen? And a lot of things that we talked about is, you know, we know that we can't solve this problem in a 1 hour meeting, but to just start that dialogue with the people that are representing us in our local government, and that they were all on board with coming up with a solution.
Before you brought them in to talk about it, I'm assuming that they've been having conversations. It wasn't like something that everybody was unaware of. You know, they had.
Yeah. So I think that they in their specific offices, they might have been having the conversation or within their, you know, their related party. But I don't really feel like they've all come together like they did here. And they were thankful that we asked them to the meeting, asked them to the table and said, it's better that we have these conversations now versus when we're in the thick of the crisis, right?
Yeah.
And that we have some seasoned, you know, real estate professionals that are at the table with us to try to help us with this. And where do we go from here? And they talked about similar things that they feel are issues. You couldn't tell what their party line was in the room. And that was the great thing. They collectively wanted to give their opinion and where they felt the most need was, but everybody, you know, at least they were passionate about the subject matter.
So for the most part for this meeting, was it just kind of bringing awareness of everybody's concerns? And then, you know, hopefully you're scheduling something where people are coming up with solutions.
Yes. So they had, several different ideas of what they thought could be the next step. But and so we had a little meeting, a little powwow of my leadership here at the association, and what can we do next? And so we thought the next thing that we should do is bring together stakeholders in our community, various housing authorities, maybe zoning officers, zoning boards. Where are the trouble spots that an investor would come up against, and what is it? What is the stumbling block that keeps them from moving faster than we know that they do now, and maybe a deterrent for any new growth? Also, taking a look at existing vacant buildings like Shopping Town Mall, what's going on there? And like I said, it isn't all about new construction. It's about, taking on an old building that's maybe located in a good area where we can service the poor. That, if folks need subsidized housing, they obviously probably don't have transportation. And how can we provide them with transportation for the things that they need? Doctors' visits, and of course, schools and churches for their faith, and the grocery stores and the things that they need. So it's a conversation that's going to go on for quite a while, I feel.
I think the number, it's one thing to talk about there being a shortage, but to hear the number that's projected, 20 to 40, 40,000, and there are a lot of vacant homes. Let's just say from a realtor's point of view, you're showing properties that are so damaged that the return on investment for an investor, it's not worth purchasing.
Yes. Yeah, and that's where the government comes in and can help in those areas. But we're turning to our government so much right now for subsidizing the economy. How is that going to look if we add one more thing to the plate? And we're not going to wait. We want to have that dialogue now, because we don't want to deter the growth in Central New York. But if I had a crystal ball, I'm not going to even you won't even recognize Central New York. When you look at that crystal ball, because you couldn't even imagine what we're facing. And I worry about, roads and, the plumbing and the things that we take for granted every day that we have, that you add that many, those numbers of housing to all of the infrastructure. It's a crisis.
For anybody that watches this podcast with me or the ones that I do for the Baldwinsville community, I've learned more about what it takes when a new housing development. So I've always looked at it from a real estate, the cost to build, how much to resell, those types of items. But all of a sudden, when you're talking to just even in the town supervisors, the mayor, the zoning, everything that goes into it when they're building the school, what's going to happen with the schools when they're overcrowded? The Amazon, I know you mentioned a couple other places that are getting built or possibly coming into the area, but we can talk Amazon because that's definitely, it's not just the high-end homes. People saying, oh, the executives are going to come here. They're going to be looking for high-end homes to build. And no, it takes every level of employment, every level of salary, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they all need to, and maybe they're not all here now in Central New York. They'll be recruited to our area. And like you said, they're not all going to be executive level jobs. They're going to be folks that can't find work where they're currently living, and they hear, because the employer is a maybe a national employer like Amazon, that there's jobs in Syracuse, New York, in Liverpool, New York, and all the locations and what we're starting to see crop up. So as much as our the local talent at, say, for example, Center State CEO and the county executive who is working so hard to bring in new employment within our community, it's where are you going to put these people once they come here to work? And that's something that we need to talk about.
And it's a big cycle, and obviously I won't go into it too much, nor will you, because it's not what we do. But we need to build roads, right? There's all these conversations about 81. Well, that's taxpayers' dollars. So you bring companies and businesses in that helps with taxes, but you have to house the people. You have to build the roads. You have to do the plumbing. It all takes money. So sometimes, not to downplay it, but what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Without the money, you can't make the
Right.
corrections that are needed. but without the housing, the people can't really come. And even finding a rental that's affordable right now, it's really tough. We get contacted all the time. Is there a rental in Liverpool, Camillus, Cicero, Baldwinsville, Fayetteville, Manlius? They go as quick as they come on, just like the houses.
Right. And we talked about what is affordable, talked about the average salary of one person in Central New York. And that average is about, I think they said $800 every 2 weeks. So if you think of in terms, the average rental being $800 a month, that doesn't leave a whole lot of money left over for all the other things someone needs, just the basics in life, right? So, you know, is it all subsidized housing? Where is it? And, you know, getting, I feel we need to know what the other housing organizations are doing, what's on their plate, what are they working on? And then, like I said, get it right down to the grassroots of the zoning boards. And why do they say no? You know, there might be a good reason that we don't understand or why it takes so long. There could be a very good reason why it takes so long. You can't just sit back and complain about the process unless you understand exactly why the process is like it is, right? So right. Before we can find efficiencies in that, there may be room for efficiencies or easing up or whatever it is, but we have to really start that exploration now.
And bringing everyone together so everyone can see all the different sides is huge because, you know, when you started, you said that it's not that they weren't talking about it, but if they were talking about it in their own offices or in their own, within their own problems, it's hard to figure out the plumbing when you're talking about roads and you're not understanding right. The plumbing piece of it. Or if you're not really looking to the housing market, which I always think everybody's looking at the housing market, but, you know, for the most part, was there any, I don't know, what would you say was the most positive thing that came out of it other than maybe the team working effort of it?
I guess the most positive thing was that they didn't just come, they brought their aides with them. And because obviously, you know, they've got full plates and the aides sort of take care of the back end, you know, the grunt work. And in a lot of cases, they are the ones who present out, you know, write a bill. And then, of course, it goes from there. That they were thankful that we did it. And we went, oh, geez, you know, we just thought this would be a, you know, a light conversation. But they were all on board and having positive dialogue in relationship to, like I said, all the sectors. It wasn't just about the housing shortage that you and I know about. It's about taking a look at those that are unfortunately disabled or, you know, living on the streets, are poor. They just can't afford to have anything. But they told a story of someone's house being built out of pallets. And that just, you know, this, I don't even want to see something like that because that's tough. That's really tough. But it exists in our community. And it's not just the person that's looking for change at the end of the highway at the stop sign, right? Or the mm-hmm. traffic light. It's a bigger problem.
Did you talk at all about the, you know, you said the average, you know, the income $800 every 2 weeks and rental. And in some communities, 800 is a one bedroom or a studio. It's not even where a family could live. In other places, you can get, you know, two bedrooms. But did you talk about the increase in the average house price in Syracuse? Because that has gone up tremendously as well. And, you know, I come across somebody when I'm out, they're going through the first time home buyers, they're getting pre-approved for 80, 90, 100,000, which is incredible. That's great. But the supply of homes, even in the shortage, the supply of homes in that price range now, it's really not there for a turnkey ready home, at least not what I'm finding in the realtors that I talk with.
Well, there was a little bit of talk about downsizing the, you know, the average home. So we think of it in terms, well, everyone wants a bigger house because they may be working from home. Well, maybe we have to offer, our builder needs to consider, or even if you're repurposing already existing land or a building, that maybe the footprint of what someone, the average person needs could be smaller. You know, so if you think of the rooms that you're in your home, you know, how much do you really live in that? How much is, you know, if I have a dinner party, it's going to be great, but I really don't need all this on a regular basis. And it might be that if you offered that kind of lifestyle, almost like a tiny house, right? Something more realistic than a tiny house, but maybe if you were to build smaller homes, it would cost the builder less and it would cost the consumer less. You know, right now, I think we're at a bit of a curve when it comes to the cost of lumber. And but it's a bigger problem than just that. It's enticing folks to want to even get into the development process or into the rehab process because they can't find help. They can't find people that want to work. And right. I think that as we go through, the unemployment has, you know, stopped, and the rental issue has stopped. Maybe, you know, there won't be any, you know, folks taking advantage of the situation, but getting back to reality, and maybe things will lighten up a little bit. So have to see how that shakes out. But we were really talking big picture, you know, futuristic picture.
The some people may understand why zoning is so important and why those people would be included. But if they don't, one example would be when you had talked about the tiny home. There's a lot of communities that they don't want the tiny homes in the community. Mm-hmm. And there are lots where the house, there was a house on the lot, the house may be mm-hmm. burned down or something happened. And because of the new regulations, the frontage is no longer large enough to build another house on it because of what's going on now. So, right. you know, going back to maybe not needing such a large lot, maybe those changes could, at least in some areas, right? Or if they can't be right. changed, explain why they can't. And that's why having zoning at those meetings, I think, is it's great that you included them.
Right. Because they have to be a part of the solution. So if part of the solution is smaller homes, like you said, the square footage of the lot, that had that regulation or the distance between two homes has to be changed or whatever it is, you know, because we are in a little bit of a, we have a problem, a good problem to have, but, you know, it would be nice if somebody handed you, you know, a document and said, geez, another city just like yours went through this, and this is their step-by-step, you know, plan to, you know, create this housing that we're going to need over the next 10 years, but there isn't such a thing. So where do we start?
Right. And we just got to,
yeah, you got to pick a point and bring the players to the table.
You know, everybody has an opinion on what they think about, you know, Central New York and who wants to live here and why. And I think it has a lot of, you know, I'm a sports person. Granted, we don't have the NFL, but we have Syracuse football. We have a lot to offer. So when people come, they do tend to fall in love with the area. So when Amazon comes, people will transfer in. They may end up bringing more families with them, right? If somebody takes the grandkids out of Vermont, grandma and grandpa might be coming with them. So it's not just the businesses that are coming sure. in. They might end up bringing families, which you can't even account for that when you're looking at the numbers. We're just looking at how many jobs are going to be coming in.
Right. So. And yeah, so a good problem to have, yes, but it is a problem. Don't want to scare anybody too much, but it would be worse if we waited until we were 5 years into this thing. And, you know, now what do we do about it? But so now is a good time to start talking about it and seeing if there's any solutions.
Right. Get ahead of it. So, well, I think that's great. I have great things to say about our board in general. You know, all of your staff, I think they do a wonderful job. I never even thought that I believe you mentioned to me one time that you were having this meeting and I didn't even think of the impact that it was going to have until we started talking about, you know, what all was discussed. So from the standpoint of a member,
it was pretty happy. Yeah.
Perfect. Is there anything else you can think of from either that meeting or just in general, what's going on in our area that you want to share with other, the real estate community or the community in general?
Yeah, well, I think that the only thing that, you know, comes to mind is that we're continuing to support our members, our Realtor members and our brokers to, you know, create a policy within their offices that their agents will follow, whatever that policy is, to stay safe, to keep the consumer safe more than ever before as we start to come in from being outside. You know, it's so nice that we were able to congregate at outdoor events and not have to wear a mask all the time. But now as we start to come in and now hearing the mandate for healthcare workers to be vaccinated, some of the hospitals are forced to make some tough decisions. And we need to keep ourselves healthy so that the numbers that are going to the hospital are down because there won't be anyone there to take care of you. So it's your responsibility to keep yourself safe and your family. This thing isn't over. So let's just pull our bootstraps up, like my mother used to say, and do what we know to do.
Right. And I'm going to just go in from my standpoint is we're going into, sellers are inviting us into their homes to tour that. So most buyers that all of us work with, we talk, they're willing to say, what do I need to do? Hand sanitize, mask, don't touch anything. You know, it's all the stuff that you know to do. We're just more cautious of it, you know, now going into people's properties. So if you are thinking about entering the market and going, remember, you're going into someone's home. It's their safe zone. If they're keeping it clean, it's our job to keep, you know, be as cleansed and sanitized as possible when we're going through it, not just for our health, like you mentioned, but for the health of the sellers, the health of the buyers in general. But I'm just glad we can go in houses because you and I both know there was a time where we couldn't even go in. So
yeah, that's true. Of all that 1 year ago, I think we just want to put it behind us so badly that we think it happened years and years ago, but it really wasn't that long ago that we had to be so cautious. But we all have a social responsibility. And as real estate professionals, we take on an even bigger role. So it's just reminding our members to stand tough.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thank you, Lenore. I obviously, you know, I'm going to hound you for updates as this goes through. It's not going to be a quick fix, but, you know, anytime you have information, I think everybody's interested in it because it's our livelihood, right? It's where we love to live. Exactly. We want to make sure we have a place to live and we keep it. We keep the roads, the plumbing, the schools. It's all important to everybody, not just, you know, what house you're going to buy. It's not just HGTV real estate. It really impacts everybody. So
exactly. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Enjoy your day. Talk to you soon.